Live from New York City, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to be talking about the latest in health and healing. We have a lot of issues, everything from how to prevent colorectal cancer, which is on the rise in young people today. In fact, the millennial and Y generation have a lot of it. Why and what can be done about it? From the University of Alabama, a new study is the first to link your internal clock to what and when people eat. This is interesting. Also, there's an extract of a tree that has really powerful anti-cancer and anti-aging properties from the Engelhardt Institute of Molecular Biology. So I'll tell you what it is, because I'm sure that it's going to be available shortly. And when some of your genes can show an extended expression of life, that means you could live 5, 10, 15 years longer. Also from the University of Delaware, walnuts may support your sperm health, and that's important because a lot of couples would like to conceive, but he does not have healthy sperm. And young people have very defective sperm. So I'll explain why that is important and why healthy sperm, even if you don't want to procreate, is important for you. And from the University of Southern Denmark, did seaweed make us who we are today? It's all about the nutrient in the seaweed. Happy notes, happy memories, McGill University. I'll explain that. And why frequent sex makes for happier humans, University of Toronto. That looks interesting. Now we know why so many people are protesting the Democrats and liberals. They don't have sex. All birth is, well, it's immaculate conception anally. So we'll get you in a better mood talking about why sex is important, unless you don't want sex, unless you just want to be mean and angry at everyone, because that's the outcome. Also today, when I talked about the weather and why we should be preparing now, everywhere on the planet for the extremes, people kind of yawn. Well, it's not affecting me today, Gary. It will. In fact, last night, the internet was flooded with videos of people stuck in their cars on a major road in California where there was just huge flooding. Now, let me explain what it looked like. Imagine 100 cars all together. That's all you could see. There were more. And you hear the people in the car saying, "Oh, my God, oh, my God, you know, I don't have any control." And then they're just bobbing around, being carried from one side of a road to another, trucks as well. And so they were getting a little sampling, a little peck on the cheek of what they could expect. And one person says, "Maybe we should get out." Bad idea. No, you've got so much power and so much pressure when you're in a flash flood that you could be a 500-pound bodybuilder and it would just pick you up and just carry away, and you get battered against rocks and trees and you would die. You never want to do that. So you watch 5 minutes of all these cars, all of them, and there's no way to get them help. And it's just so much rain. Now imagine 10 times that amount of rain coming at one time. This year down in Dallas, they had 10 inches of rain in one day, the most in history for a town. So that's what we can expect. So it is happening. It's happening now. Let me give an example. A little later, I'm going to talk about four famines. Right now, mean 20 million people will starve to death in the next 6 months. Have you heard about even one? And this is from the best information. I'll give it to you. It's from Geneva and from all of the World Food Program research. Also today, I'll give you the latest on Fukushima, the lurking global catastrophe from Robert Hunziker. I'll also talk about nuclear power is not, contrary to what we've been told, green energy. And this is from the Washington blog, and all the nuclear scientists agree, so we'll deal with that. Also, TTP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, is not dead. It's now called the Trade and Services Agreement from Pete Dolek. More on that. And extreme wildfires are going to increase. Now, why is that important? Let's just say that you're fortunate to live the life of George O'Keefe or Ansel Adams, and you're out west, you're in South Dakota, you're in New Mexico, you're in Arizona, Nevada, and you have a beautiful piece of property, maybe up in Montana, the Great Meadows. Now you got to think about being in the woods, because the woods are where there's so much dryness because of drought that they're having these fires. And they're having huge number of fires. How many? In the last 12 months in the United States, I'm not talking about little fires, I'm talking about major fires, 36,000. So this is from Climate News Network. Extreme wildfires set to increase by 50%. So as bad as it is, it's going to double. If you live in the Middle East, not good news. From the Middle East Online, Arab countries face climate warming reality. I'll explain that. And the Amazon deforestation rises more than what anyone had counted. Also, if time permits, a commentary from William Hartung. What happens when all we have left is the Pentagon? And by the way, Hartung is a director of the Arms and Security Project at the Center for International Policy, and he's the author of Prophets of War. And I'll share my own commentary also today, if time permits, on the news media being very happy that Trump has increased the defense spending by $54 to $59 billion. I'll tell you why it's all smoke and mirrors. Plus, we have audio clips. Isn't it time that the left, the liberal community, stop for a moment and ask yourself, what is the likely outcome of denigrating the people who supported Trump? Do you really think that's the best way to help America recover its working class to a standard of living that allows them to get out of debt, to solve many of our environmental problems? And in particular, I was listening to some of the people attacking those who supported Trump. So today I'm going to play you two audio clips that will show you the side of the story that they either didn't know about or didn't care to discuss. So we have a lot to share. Let's begin. First up, it was Benjamin Franklin who famously extolled the virtues of early rising, saying, "Early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise." Well, a new study from the University of Alabama out today adds scientific data to the claim that morning people may in fact be healthier. By comparing morning-type people with evening-type people, researchers found that morning-type people ate more balanced foods overall, ate earlier in the day, and this was published in the peer-reviewed journal Obesity, and that's the scientific journal of the Obesity Society. And this is the first study of its kind to examine what and when people with different internal clocks eat, including macronutrients and the amount of protein, fats, carbohydrates. Early birds may have an extra advantage over night owls when it comes to fighting obesity, as they are instinctively choosing to eat healthier foods earlier in the day. That is the takeaway message from the study. And researchers looked at over 2,000 randomly chosen people to determine if the circadian or biological clock rhythm, which is your chronotype, affected what they ate and at what time. And here's what it comes down to. People who stay up late at night generally eat more refined carbohydrates. People who get up early in the morning and exercise tend to have healthier breakfasts, like an oatmeal or a smoothie or a protein shake or fruits. And then they're also more likely to have a healthy lunch and dinner. So it makes a big difference because not only is your biological clock important, but when you're staying up late, have you ever noticed that when you're staying up, let's say, past midnight, you're getting tired between 10 and midnight, but then suddenly you have all this energy. And now when you do go to sleep, you can't fall asleep. And that's because the internal biological clock, it was reset. And that's not good. I've said it many times, I'll say it again. If you're working night shift, you could be knocking up to 10 years off your lifespan. If you're under stress, you can knock another 10 off your lifespan. If you're overweight, chronically overweight, and under exercise, if you're sedentary, knock more off your lifespan. And that's why today we have people that the lifespan is decreasing, not increasing. And so even though you may be one chronological age, biologically you're different, and boy, does a good night's sleep count for a longer, healthier lifespan because it impacts your immune system. We're always looking for the latest natural, non-toxic, anti-cancer, and anti-aging properties. From the Engelhardt Institute of Molecular Biology comes new research. Scientists have studied the effects of a Siberian fir, what are called terpenoids, or sentient and human cancer cell lines on the genetic level. And research into the terpenoids, including their effects on cancer, was initiated by scientists, and they wanted to find out, does it impact it? They had heard it did. The study was published in the biomedical journal OncoTarget, and the results have attracted the interest of geneticists. Now, let me take a step back. Terpenoids, T-E-R-P-E-N-O-I-D-S, are a class of hydrocarbons that are the principal component of gums and balsams and essential oils out of trees, out of plants. And large volumes of terpenoids are produced by what are called conifers for protection against diseases and invading insects. Remember, the plant or the tree or the shrub creates these to protect itself from predators. And in response to any unfavorable environmental factors like exposure to excessive heat or cold or damage. And many compounds of this class could potentially have anti-aging and anti-cancer properties. For example, extract from the damask rose, which is rich in terpenoids, called, and I'll spell it for you, sit, S-I-T, ronoilo, R-O-N-E-L-L-O-L, have been shown to increase the lifespans of fruit flies by protecting them against iron toxicity and enhancing their resistance to oxidative stress. You also have what is called betalanic acid and lupine type tryptophanes derived from the birch trees. And that has demonstrated antibacterial and antimalarial and anti-inflammatory properties as well as cytotoxic toward cancer cells. Moreover, both the anti-aging and anti-cancer properties have been observed for such terpenoids as ursolic acid. Where do you get that? Eating apples. Where is it compounded in the apple? In the skin. Hence, when I suggest that you want to anti-age, you want to have cancer, anti-cancer properties, you take the skin of four apples. You don't throw the rest of the apple away. You can juice it. But the skin then, you blend in a blender, and then you're getting the benefit of all that into your body. Plus, you're getting a lot of quercetin. So this ursolic acid, and also you have in olive oil, and in olives you have maslenic acid, which is also important. So you have the simple generic fruit or vegetable, but then you have the chemicals in it. And that's what impacts us. Now, to study the effects of Siberian fir terpenoids on cellular senescence, the scientists use a technique called cell passaging. And the passaging or subculturing refers to the process of transferring an existing cell culture to a fresh growth medium. I won't go into the science of it, but it showed that it could extend its life. So the takeaway message is this. there are natural chemicals found in nature, in shrubs and trees and leaves and roots, used as essential oils, used as tinctures, and that's why you should be consulting with people who are expert in the field. Botanists would be good. Herbalists who have a deep experience, good. Homeopaths are good. And most people don't use their services, and they should. Walnuts, according to the University of Delaware, in this new study, enrich and improve sperm quality by reducing lipid peroxidation. By the way, that's the process that can damage sperm cells. And this form of cell damage harms sperm membranes, which are primarily made up of polyunsaturated fatty acids. Well, walnuts are the only tree nut that are predominantly composed of what are called the essential fatty acids of a particular type of fatty acid. And so these are terrific. So of all the nuts, the walnut sits dominant of what it can do to protect your heart, the lining of your arteries, your brain, and now we see the health of your sperm, especially important for people who want to conceive. And an interesting read was a report in a journal that I was, the Journal of Applied Physiology, and what it says is this. A long time ago, millions of years ago, something happened, allowing early Homo sapiens to branch out from the primitive hominoid family tree. The question is, was this crucial in human evolution, partly because seaweeds were involved, and the content of the seaweed is essential nutrients. Over the past, let's say, 2 to 2.5 million years, human brains have gone through the most significant development in most people. There are a few people who have not benefited from this evolutionary process, and unfortunately for us, they end up being very powerful. Some of the most powerful of us in America. Can't blame them. You know, it's partly, I guess, genetic. They didn't eat enough seaweed somewhere in the family tree. In any case, our ancestors needed a lot of these energy-rich foods just to get by. And for this impressive, significant brain development, they also needed certain essential nutrients. And without these nutrients, like magnesium and zinc, and modern brains cannot function. And according to a number of scientific studies, it's likely that the access to certain essential nutrients influenced the evolution of the human brain so that it could become the brain we have today. From primitive ancestor to modern human, it was based upon, in part, nutrients. Nutrients needed for this transition from a primitive ancestor to a modern Homo sapien were and still are available in seaweeds. And seaweeds could be found and harvested in abundance on shores. And they could be dried, so you could carry them with you. They were lightweight. And they were a rich, rich environment. And that would have been a significant source of consistent nutrients. And so that's one of the ways that we end up evolving our brain. And that's good. And finally, frequent sex makes happier humans. University of Toronto. In social science, it's not enough to know that things happen, but why they happen. Like, for instance, the finding that having sex once a week makes people way happier than once a month. It's equivalent to making an additional $50,000 a year. And what we now know is the why, because it's involving the pleasure principle. And also that in turn gives us a greater sense of well-being. And that's where a new study in Personality and Social Psychology Bulletin comes in. Apparently, it's all about not the orgasm and not what you do sexually. It's about the cuddling. That's correct. Sex seems not only beneficial because of its physiological and effects, but also because it promotes a stronger and more positive connection with your partner. And the study was composed of several experiments, and that's what they found. So just imagine then what you're really sharing. You're either just sharing one type of energy, which is simply the exchange of a sexual energy. But for those who are sharing with someone that they have a very strong emotional bond with, you're sharing an additional energy, an energy that is only released when there is no fear. When you feel completely vulnerable, you're allowing yourself to open yourself up and have a harmonizing of what we might call the heart chakra. So you see, people think sex is all about the orgasm. It is not. And anyone who studied deeply into the tantric understands that the orgasm is really insignificant. It is the heart chakra bonding and harmonizing. And that's where that great oxytocin, a hormone rush comes and sustains itself. And therefore, you're a happier person. You feel more content. And it's an important and essential. But by the way, it's more than that. It's also a primal energy, just like food. I'm Gary Knoll. That's the latest on health and healing. And we're going to take a short break and come back with a whole lot more commentaries. And also, I want to mention that we're moving our corporate headquarters to a nicer location, nicer place with more state-of-the-art studios. And later this year, when I complete my current work and filming, I will be allowing a limited number of people who want to pursue documentary making on their own to come in and apprentice for a couple months so you can see how I do it. And that will only be open, not for curiosity seekers, but for those who can show and prove to me that they are engaged now in documentary making. And by the way, my newest documentary just this morning, I was notified, won 2 very important awards in a very important film festival. In fact, we just got our notice that the Global Independent Film Awards, which is one of the most prestigious, we won Best Feature Documentary and Best Original Screenplay. I believe this is also the same group that does the judging on the Spirit Awards, another very fine group. That's 23 awards for Plant Codes in the last 7 weeks. If it's tracking as it is now, we can reasonably expect about 70 to 80 awards by the end of the year, probably making the most awarded documentary in the world. So, and the only reason that's important is because then it has a chance to be shown to a larger audience and then helping them change to a plant-based diet and helping do what we can to save the planet, save animals from suffering, and save people from dying from disease. And that's what it's meant to do. Thus far, it's doing the right thing. Anyhow, I'll be helping some people. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Nice to have you with us, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll. We are a little inundated today on the phones. Virtually all of our phone lines are packed. I think I have 10 different lines. We didn't quite expect this huge increase today. So if you can't get through on one line, please try one of the other lines. Also tonight on the Progressive Commentary Hour, we have 2 outstanding individuals, 2 constitutional lawyers, including Danny Sheehan. And we will be also Dr. John Whitehead. And we're going to talk about the power of the hidden hand to influence our lives today and why the media will not touch it because they've been substantially compromised and are controlled by it. but we will lay out the truth. Following that, at 8 o'clock, I'm going to do a special presentation to extend my thoughts about why I am no longer from today, the rest of this week, on our sister station where I've been every day for going on 41 years on WBAI, so that you will have a much fuller understanding. So that's where we're going on that. And I think you'll want to listen in, because I'm going to have some executive directors of Pacifica and board members and people who actually created the problem on the air. It'll be an interesting discussion, but also where I believe this whole thing with non-commercial radio is going, especially Pacifica, and why it just can't seem to do anything the right way. And it's completely self-destructive, but that'll be a discussion later. Also, we could use about 4 strong people to help on Saturday and Sunday doing moving. We're moving the offices, and so if you're an able-bodied person and you want to come down and help, we'll give you some good stuff in return as a gift. You'll call my office at 646-926-5422, and speak with Bianca. Spaceship Earth, your main oxygen systems are collapsing. Now, remember I said a few minutes ago about the people, the dozens of people who are in cars bobbing around in the water with no control because Mother Nature was extending the rain and hence the mud and the flooding in California. That was yesterday. This is from John Rulak from Echo Watch. Yes, Houston, we have a problem. Quote, our oceans are dying. As the brilliant futurist Buckminster Fuller used to point out, our spaceship Earth is hurtling through space at a great speed. Imagine if someone told you that the main oxygen systems were failing because of how food were being grown. What would you do upon receiving that dire warning? Perhaps work to make a change. Lobby the people controlling the system. Maybe you simply would be in denial that there is no way that that could happen. But an imminent loss of oxygen just happens to be a current fact. Because the ocean's phytoplankton, which provides 2/3 of the Earth's oxygen, is rapidly dying off. Industrial agriculture not only contaminates our oceans with pesticides and nitrogen fertilizer runoff, leading to massive dead zones, it is stripping our soils of carbon, which ends up in the ocean and creates acidification. And as the current trajectory, in just a few decades, there won't be much left alive in our oceans as the phytoplankton dies, all because of how we grow our food. When climate change is discussed, the media and our government and the climate movement are focused on the evil carbon in the atmosphere and the melting of the Arctic region. They're pleading with governments and Fortune 1000 corporations to stop conducting drill baby drill operations. Important stuff for sure, but lost in this debate of how much oceans will rise or how hot the planet will be is the sobering fact that we don't, if we don't immediately deal with the number one environmental issue of the day, ocean acidification, humanity will not be around to observe rising temperatures or oceans lapping over Wall Street and Silicon Valley. The good news is that we can cool both the planet and the seawater while removing excess carbon from the sea by regenerative agriculture. Now that's the solution that's right under our feet. The Regenerative Agriculture Initiative at California State University at Chico and Carbon Underground Group have created this concise definition. Quote, regenerative agriculture describes farming and grazing practices that, among other benefits, reverse climate change by rebuilding organic soil matter and restoring degraded soil biodiversity, resulting in both carbon downdraw and improving the water cycle. Well, the little-known facts are that industrial agriculture contributes more to climate change than Chevron and Exxon and the entire transportation industry combined. And regenerative agriculture can reverse climate change if we shift our society's focus from degenerative to regenerative. If we can put men on the moon, can we shift how we grow food in a way that supports life on Earth? And the answer is yes. So, what am I doing? Starting in 3 months, on a regular basis, I will be streaming live video of how to do this. I'm setting up, and we're working on it now, I'm setting up what I hope will be the most inexpensive for people to do themselves. And it's all free. I'm doing this as a public service. But I'm showing you how to do organic farming, local homesteading, urban farming, suburban farming, rural farming for the future. But the future then becomes now, because everything you do, within 5 days, you'll have food to eat. 5 days. That's the earliest. The latest would be 20 days. What used to take 3 months, we can now do in 20 days. And you don't have to use any pesticides, any artificial fertilizers. You don't have soil erosion. You have green crop all year round. So you are stopping the imbalance. And then my hope is worldwide seeing and other people like Dr. Vandana Shiva doing it at her farm at the base of the Himalayas, which we filmed there 3 years ago. And I'm going to show you that film in the near future. I'm streaming. Are you ready for this? We're setting up in the new studio in New York. I'm setting up someone, three groups to work 24 hours a day, 3 8-hour shifts. I have over 2,000 major pieces of filming I've done. I'm going to start sharing with people. You've not seen any. So you'll be seeing it on a weekly basis because it's going to be pumped out weekly. And one person is handling just farming, homesteading, agriculture. So no matter where you're living right now and on the planet, you'll be able to take this information and benefit from it. I mentioned earlier that we had problems with extreme wildfires. I know someone who built a beautiful, all-green homestead up in Montana. And I remember looking at it and I said, wow, what if this gets so dry, there's a fire? Oh, it's never going to happen. There's never happened. It happened. It was destroyed. And someone else said that they found the perfect homestead out in not too far from Santa Fe. Santa Fe, my friend, is their aquifer is almost dry. It's running out of water. I was actually given an opportunity to buy a $20 million resort out there that was closed. It was owned by a foundation. I could have put it up for $2 million. It sounded too good to be true. Then I checked the water. They're running out of water. So if it was a dollar, it would be worthless. And sure enough, one of the people I know, I told them not to, but they didn't listen because they just loved everything and the scenery, and there's a lot to love in New Mexico. You got to pay attention to your water. Always check. And not only does it have water, is it your water? If you don't own it, don't buy it. But if you don't have the water, you're going to have extreme dryness. And if you have extreme dryness, you're going to have wildfires. And that's what's happening everywhere. This is the latest from Climate News Network. Quote, the conditions of extreme and catastrophic wildfires could increase by 50% as the world warms and the climate changes. An analysis of 23 million wildfires between 2002 and 2013 has identified 478 of the worst. Scientists call these extreme wildfires. Now, by the way, did anyone know that we had 23 million wildfires in a 10-year period, 11-year period? Quote, extreme fire events are global and natural phenomena, particularly in forested areas that have pronounced dry seasons. This is from Professor David Bowman, University of Tasmania in Australia. Quote, with the exception of land clearance, the research found that extremely intense fires are associated with the weather, such as droughts, winds, and in desert regions following particular wet seasons. So what's this tell us? It tells us before you go moving into an environment, you better check to see over the last 10 years what has been the weather patterns. And also, this is from Middle East Online from Samar Khadi from Beirut. While 2016 set a heat record globally, further temperature increases, reduction in rainfall, seasonal shifts and decline in agriculture activity are predicaments looming over the Middle East and North Africa region because of climate change. The region is suffering from extreme summer temperatures. Kuwait, you're having cyclones in Oman and Yemen, snowfall in Saudi Arabia and the deserts, and drought that wiped out half the wheat crop in Morocco. The challenges are enormous, and we are forecasting a rise of 3 to 5 degrees Celsius. Wow. So one of the places that you better pay attention, because you got hundreds of millions of people living where in the near future they're not going to be able to feed themselves unless they're very rich and therefore they can get their food elsewhere. And finally, from our environment, this is from Tom Miles from The Wire, from Geneva reporting, more than 20 million people, greater than the population of Romania or Florida, risk dying from starvation within the next 6 months in four separate famines, UN World Food Program chief economist Arif Hussein says. Wars in Yemen, northeastern Nigeria, and South Sudan have devastated households and driven up prices, while drought in East Africa has ruined the agricultural economy. Quote, in my not quite 15 years with the World Food Program, this is the first time that we are literally talking about famine in four different parts of the world at the same time. It's almost overwhelming to be comprehended that in the 21st century, people are still experiencing famines of such magnitude. We're talking about 20 million people, and all this within the next 6 months. So, and it's happening right now in Yemen. So what is the solution? I'll give you my short solution. Short solution. That the United Nations, through all of its partners, go into all the major affected areas immediately and to build crisis centers. These would be like a 1 million square foot centers, huge above ground buildings, maybe 6 feet above ground. And in these, they would be working off green energy, both geothermal and solar and wind, because you got plenty of it there. And they would then create stockpiles that would be at least 2 years worth of food stored, because grains can store for 5 years, dry beans can store for 10 years. And therefore, anyone who would be at risk of dying, and especially children, would have food. Separately, in the same center, you would have housing for at least 10,000 people, including families, including sanitation. You would also have a mini hospital, and therefore, people who are sick, who are in need, would have a place. I'm guesstimating that you're looking at about $5 million in food to get it started, and probably around $20 million to build. So you would have, in Yemen, you could have three of these strategically placed, so that Yemen's a small country. It's a tiny little country. It's right at the bottom of Saudi Arabia and goes back on the Arabian Sea. So you could also have a desalinization plant that would be built on the ocean that would then provide irrigation to man-made oases that would then be not ground-based, but hydroponically based. So then you have a sustainable agriculture for people so they don't become food refugees. And depending upon the size of the country and how many people there are in the country, this could be used when there are hurricanes and when there are floods in the monsoon season. You could do these in Bangladesh, in Pakistan, in India, throughout Africa. And you're not looking at a huge bill to do this. You're looking at probably no more than $1 billion could do all this and save at least 100 million people. Now, if you don't know how to do it, call me. I do. I've met with people at the UN. In fact, they've contacted me on many occasions, and I've given them all kinds of ideas how to do things with agriculture. So we shouldn't have anyone being dying. In fact, for what it cost for just 1 day of Pentagon spending, we could do it all ourselves. We're just not putting the energy and the money where it needs to be. I'm Gary Nall. That's the latest on environmental issues. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Nice to have you with us. I'm concerned that we have engaged or are engaging in this country into what will be a suicidal pact where those on the left and those on the right are fighting each other because the people on the left wanted Hillary Clinton, even though it should have gone to Bernie Sanders, who would have been far more qualified and we would have had a better outcome. But they cheated. The people within the Democratic National Convention cheated. The committee cheated. Debbie Wasserman Schultz cheated. Hillary Clinton cheated. They all cheated. They engaged in unethical behavior. Instead of the left calling them out as unqualified, immoral, and not serving the best interests of the American people or the Democrats, in fact, all that was set aside and a distraction blaming the Russians for this. It's all a game. But then in the pushback of trying to say, you know, this is Trump shouldn't be president. He's not qualified. That they are absolutely correct on. He's not qualified. But he won the election. And the Russians had nothing to do with it. There's not been a scintilla of proof brought forward that the information released by WikiLeaks came from Russia. In fact, I've interviewed at least six intelligence experts, including those formerly with the CIA and the National Security Agency, who say there is not a scintilla of truth. And because WikiLeaks got their information instead from an inside employee of the Democratic National Group that saw the corruption, saw the malfeasance. He collected the information on a thumbnail and documents and delivered in a park in Washington, D.C. or Virginia area. And by the way, he was shot several times in the back shortly thereafter. WikiLeaks has never had to rescind or correct a single thing they've ever published. It's all been true. But it shows you how complicit the media is. And so we're going to talk about this in a bit. But when you start saying anyone who voted for Trump, and I've heard Bill Maher really attack Trump, and which is his right. But before you attack the people who supported Trump, shouldn't you at least know who they are? We're going to hear from one small community in West Virginia that typifies a Trump supporter now. Please listen in.
This was a county that has paid its dues to the state, and the state has deserted us.
You don't have food. You don't know where your next meal's going to come from.
The politicians are going to have to start telling really hard truths. And the people of West Virginia are owed that.
McDowell County, West Virginia, isn't a typical stop on the campaign trail. This isn't a bellwether county, and it's not in a battleground state. But I've come here because it has a unique status in 2016. During the primaries, a higher percentage of people here voted for Donald Trump than anywhere else in America. It's also the poorest county in one of the poorest states in the country.
See, I live in that apartment building across the street. I get up in the morning, come over here at 8, make me some coffee, read my paper, and kill time.
Ed Shepard is 92. His gas station stopped pumping in 1995.
Up this main street, there wasn't an empty building that didn't have a prosperous business in it. But little by little, they begin to close one after the other. And now it's down to a ghost town, a ghost county, really.
When was the last time someone stopped and asked you for some help?
Oh, I don't know, 4 or 5 days ago. I don't remember exact. Occasionally, somebody will pull in the driveway, ask them for directions, or they're looking for something else in the county. All the good activity is gone, and we're just sitting here now.
I want to find more people who are still clinging on in McDowell. I asked for a tour from Sabrina Schrader, an anti-poverty campaigner up for re-election to the House of Delegates in the next door county. Born and raised in McDowell, she introduces me to people from her childhood. Alma McNeely used to have a good factory job. Now she recycles cans for extra money.
When I was little, there was plenty of jobs. You got timber and coal mines and people at filling stations working on cars and stuff. Coal fields gone. They done timbered everything out, so That leaves about everybody gone.
Where do you pick up cans from?
Road. Anywhere's.
How much is it by pound?
I think it's 45 cents now.
That's not, I mean, you gotta get a lot to get 45 cents.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
You always gotta start at the bottom of the totem pole.
Well, you don't. Or we started out the bottom, so that's where we gotta start. But rich people, most of them didn't start out the bottom.
No, they started at the top and stayed at the top.
Mm-hmm. So it's impossible for them to have our perspective and understand what to do to help millions of poor people when they haven't been poor themselves. They can't design a system that's going to help us.
What is the appeal of Donald Trump?
People are desperate for hope. Trump says, I'm going to make America great again. And they want to believe something good. They'll do just about anything for a job because they want to feed their families. So they're getting tricked, they're getting manipulated, and they believe things are different than what they are.
Schrader spends a lot of time educating McDowell voters, including her grandfather.
No, there's my papa.
Yeah.
Yeah, right down the window. Yeah, it's my papa. Hey, papa, you need a ride?
Yeah.
All right, well, hop on in.
Yep.
How are you doing?
Pretty good, you?
What do you think of Donald Trump?
I hope we get it.
Why?
Huh?
Why?
Well, Hilda get our coal mine down and he don't put our coal mine back.
Because that's what the news is saying, but the news is not reporting the whole truth.
Okay, try to understand. I'm from Parkersburg, West Virginia. My family came over from Ireland and settled in North Carolina after a period of time, one group of the family went to Virginia and the other to Kentucky. So I come from the South, but I lived my entire life. I was born and raised in Parkersburg, West Virginia, later lived in Wheeling, a coal mine and steel town, Katanning, Pennsylvania, a coal mine town, and Weirton, West Virginia. I grew up with hillbillies. I am a hillbilly. And there's a special language they talk. There's a special way of dealing with life. These are not people, and I did not meet the people growing up who were filled with hate, who were bigots and angry, who were racist, and who looked at other people as ways of out of fear and denigration. So this entire way of saying that these people are deplorable, when you have never met them, when you have not lived in their shoes nor spent a meal with them, and have not desired to know who they are. When you stay in selected and protected and gilded communities, when the people you go with are private jet flyers, then you remove yourself from what it is to be one of these people. Now, this is a coal mine town. You heard the man say that the gas station has been operational a long time. What do you think they do all day? They still live. The fact they're forgotten doesn't mean that they don't exist, but they're not being supported at any level. They live in dire poverty, and in such poverty that they can't even feed themselves. The coal country helped them. Now, America used coal, fine, but coal is a highly polluting contaminant, and as is oil, and as is gas hydrofracking. But wouldn't it make sense then to go into these communities, of which there are more than 500, this is just one example, and instead of denigrating the people and making them seem like they're all members of the Ku Klux Klan, which they're not, instead, why not give a terrific opportunity for major industry? If you locate to one of these communities, which is a beautiful environment, the topography is beautiful in West Virginia, and I used to name every one of the counties, Hancock Brook, Marshall, Wetzel. I knew every single county in West Virginia because it's a tiny state. And you could put up solar or wind farms there. There's geothermal there. So one of the most important industries for the future is that. You could put up thousands of hydroponic. You could feed America alone, the entire country, by growing hydroponic greenhouses in these communities. You would have so many people you'd need there that the people in the community would not be enough, and every single person be gainfully employed with a living wage and therefore be able to not live in this divisive way. So before you denigrate people on the left and liberals, remember that these people voted for Trump no differently than why they voted for Barack Obama. Remember, he promised hope and change. Where is it? Where is it in the African-American community? Where is it in the Latino community? I'll show you more Latinos. I'll show you more people thrown in ICE prisons and sent back out of the country because of Barack Obama. I'll show you more ghettoization because of Barack Obama. I'll show you more war and conflict, more surveillance of us. I'll show you everything's wrong because I'm not living in denial. I'm simply looking at something for what it is. So if we tell people we're going to help them and we don't, then they're not going to vote for the same party again. And if someone else that they don't know, but at least he's saying, I'll help you, they're going to vote for him. So understand the real reasons. And also look in all of America, where is the greatest use of opiates for addiction? The four counties in southern West Virginia, the coal counties and down Berkeley and Beckley, that's your four greatest users of hillbilly heroin, OxyContin. So if you're in pain because you have no job, no future, can't feed your family, then whatever money you can get your hands on, you're going to buy something that will take away the pain by keeping you in an altered state. Why didn't you look at that statistic? And the suicide level, look at that statistic. And alcoholism, look at that statistic. The younger people take the opiates, the older people drink. So understand a problem before you condemn it. And this is why so many people today are saying, what the hell happened to the left in America? You lost your soul and you lost your mind. I'm Gary Noll. Let's go over and say hello to Danny Schechter standing by. Danny's on briefly right now. He's going to be on tonight for an hour on the Progressive Commentary Hour as a constitutional lawyer. Danny, I'm sorry we don't have much time, but could you please...
I just wanted to get the people to know that the argument is going on right now as we speak in Washington, D.C., in front of the federal district court there. The Standing Rock Sioux Tribe and the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe in North Dakota, joined by the Yankton Sioux Tribe, are all trying to get an emergency temporary restraining order stopping the Dakota Access Pipeline from putting the pipe into the hole that they've drilled under the river across their sacred property. That's going on right now. So people ought to keep an eye on the news. We're hoping to get an emergency temporary restraining order based on the fact that we've now proven that the Dakota Access Pipeline people intentionally destroyed a whole set of sacred sites around the pipeline in order to be able to not be denied their permit, so that we've proved they've done it, and we have found a major piece of regulation that prohibits them from having a permit if they've been proven to have done that. So there's an emergency hearing going on right now in front of the United States District Court in Washington, D.C., in front of Judge Boasberg to try to get an emergency order stopping them from putting the pipe in, because as soon as they put the pipe in, they're going to start trying to pump oil through the site and insist that it's moot now once they've completed this thing. So that's happening right now, and I wanted to let people know about that so they can keep their eye on the news and watch the bulletins coming in hopefully today.
Good. Well, unfortunately, we only have 2 minutes. In two minutes, please explain to the people who may not be aware, what is the likely next step on the part of this administration and the pipeline company and what they intend to do?
Well, what they intend to do is to pump oil, several thousand gallons a minute of oil through this pipeline. This company, the Energy Transfer Partners, is actually simply a front for Sunoco. And Sunoco has the worst record of any oil company for oil spills. They have had over 200 oil spills from Sunoco's pipelines just since 2010. They have the worst record of any oil company in the country, in the world, actually, and they're the ones that are putting this pipeline through. And it's important to remember that Energy Transfer Partners, two of the major investors in that, up until just to the last month, was Donald J. Trump and Rick Perry, the former governor of Texas, who Trump has appointed to be his head of the Energy Department. These guys had private investments in this pipeline, and Donald Trump, his second day in office on January 22nd, first thing in the morning, signed an executive order ordering the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to authorize this pipeline going through the sacred land. After the Department of Energy and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers had already ruled that it was absolutely essential to have a full-scale environmental protection study done before they could build this pipeline. And Trump came in and immediately reversed that, and he has, in effect, intervened in an administrative agency's decision-making. So he thinks he's just a dictator, that he can just intervene in a federal administrative agency's analysis. And so that we've now filed a motion getting the court to rule that Trump was acting completely unconstitutionally by invading an allegedly independent judgment on the part of an executive administrative agency. So both of those issues are in front of the court today, and we're asking for the emergency restraining order ruling that Trump has violated the Constitution and is attempting to act as a dictator. And that's what we've got in front of the court right now. The argument is going on as we speak right now.
I'm glad that you're doing that. We all appreciate your efforts, Denny. And tonight, we will hear you at 7 o'clock talking about the hidden hand in the U.S. intelligence agencies and how they've overstepped their power and what this means to all citizens who care about freedom and the Constitution. So we look forward. You and Mr. Whitehead will be on together.
Absolutely. All the best. Terrific.
See you at 7 o'clock.
Great. Bye.
That's Danny Sheehan, one of the great populist lawyers, constitutional lawyers fighting on our behalf. I'm Gary Nall. We're out of time. Thank you all for listening. I look forward to sharing more tomorrow. Have a nice day.